Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time to get the latest news. Let's go to Susan Jackson in the newsroom.
Thanks, Claire. Good morning from the newsroom. The presidential candidates Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys and independent Catherine Connolly have once again clashed in the latest election debate. Each defended their records and outlined their views in the exchange that took place on Morning Ireland. Here's our political coverage editor, Joe McGrailey.
In the course of this latest debate, the candidates touched on their political records, their views on housing, immigration and uniting Ireland. Catherine Connolly said she had demonstrated responsibility all her life, although she was not in government, but hoped the movement around her will now shape a different republic. Heather Humphreys said she went into government and took tough decisions, not having the luxury of sitting in opposition talking about things. They clashed on housing. Heather Humphreys regretting the governments she was in did not get more houses built. Catherine Connolly saying the housing crisis was a consequence of government policy. Catherine Connolly said she wasn't aware of the militia or regime links of a man who escorted her group around a Palestinian refugee camp on a visit to Syria, while Heather Humphreys defended her dealings with the O'Farrell family, whose son was killed by a drunk driver in 2011. On asylum, Heather Humphreys said Ireland is a land of opportunity and workers are needed, but asylum seekers denied status need to be returned. Catherine Connolly said language that Ireland is full is disturbing and unacceptable. This time next week, voting in the presidential elections will be underway, and the remaining days of the campaign are now crucial for the candidates to make their case to the voters.
55 children have been identified as victims of online sexual abuse following a review of thousands of videos and images by specialist Garda units. More than 30,000 videos and photographs defined as child sex abuse material were reviewed by the team and uploaded to Interpol's International Child Sexual Exploitation Database. Garda said offenders are using AI tools to create hyper-realistic deepfake images and videos, often used to manipulate or blackmail children. Speaking on this programme, Detective Superintendent Michael Mullen with the Garda National Cyber Crime Unit said children and teenagers with electronic devices need to be aware of the dangers online.
Significantly, parents need to realise that such behaviour is happening online at an alarming scale. And it's imperative that children and teenagers do not engage with strangers online. Don't ever create or share intimate content. Don't give in to blackmail and don't tolerate any behaviour that would not be tolerated in the offline world in daily physical interactions just because it occurs online.
The Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is due to speak to the Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss a planned US-Russian summit in Budapest. The US President Donald Trump announced he expected to meet Mr. Putin in the city within 2 weeks in a fresh bid to reach a peace deal to end the war in Ukraine. Mr. Trump is also due to meet his Ukrainian counterpart later for talks at the White House, in which Vladimir Zelensky is expected to push for more military support.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Stay ahead with the new Grant Arona R290 heat pump, delivering next generation comfort to your home. Visit grant.ie.
Mainly dry and cloudy with just limited bright or sunny spells. The odd patch of drizzle and mist is possible. Highest temperatures of 12 to 16 degrees. And that's all from the newsroom for the moment. Back to you, Claire.
Susan, thank you very much. And still to come in this hour, actor Aidan Gillen on why the Dingle International Film Festival is a really special one for him. We'll also have a flavour of Callan's Kicks, and The Gathering will be here to discuss the stories that made the headlines this week. Now, Donald Trump will welcome Vladimir Zelensky to the White House this afternoon for a meeting Ukraine had hoped would result in more military support. It comes after this two-hour call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin yesterday, in which Moscow said it had warned the US about supplying Ukraine with Tomahawk missiles, something, of course, President Zelensky has been pushing for. Well, Sarah Firth is foreign correspondent based in Washington, and she joins me on the line. Sarah, thank you for being with us. And we know that Donald Trump has taken a somewhat warmer tone when he's been talking about Ukraine in recent weeks. He's even suggested at one stage that Ukraine could reclaim its lost territory. But his tone after that call with Vladimir Putin has called the likelihood of this immediate military support into question now, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, that 2.5 hour phone call with Vladimir Putin, we heard President Trump describing great progress. We know that he's expecting to meet with Putin in Hungary, possibly within about a fortnight, and there'll be meetings next week happening with senior officials before that. But look, what we're going to be looking for at the White House today and what we're expecting is Ukraine's President Zelensky to push for that hard kit and some harder guarantees. So the Tomahawk missiles or a pathway to them. But after that phone call with Putin yesterday, you know, I think we can expect President Trump to frame himself as, you know, this indispensable deal maker. He's dangled these weapons as leverage for talks. But in the wake of that phone call, he's also spoken about US depleting stockpiles. So he's already tempered some of his statements, you know, over the last few weeks, saying, do Russia want Tomahawks heading in their direction? I don't think so. A lot of that signaling has been seen here in Washington as an attempt to send a warning message to Vladimir Putin. And look, it got Putin on the phone ahead of this meeting with Zelensky. I think, will Ukraine get Tomahawks? Claire, it's possible, yes. Is it probable? Not likely, at least not yet. Now, when you speak to the defense experts here in DC, even the most hawkish of them will say that despite Trump sort of publicly floating the idea of this, there are genuine stockpile concerns. But far more importantly, there are really practical hurdles to the Tomahawks being given to Ukraine, not least they're usually ship or submarine launched, and there are land options. But look, any transfer of Tomahawk missiles and suitable launches, it would be a major, major step. So I think what we're more likely to see today, some sort of formula, perhaps linking the possibility of Tomahawks in the future to Russia's behavior moving forward. The message for the last week and over the last few days from President Trump has been negotiate seriously or the Tomahawks will be in play. So I think it's not likely we're going to see some big announcement of a transfer of weapons, but possibly some hope of maybe a more phased approach or the future possibility if Russia continues expanding the strikes of this going ahead.
And then we have this meeting now mooted again between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. The setting may be Budapest. When is that likely to happen, do we know?
So the meeting is likely, we've heard from President Trump, to be within a fortnight. But before that, we are going to be seeing Secretary of State Marco Rubio, some other senior officials meeting next week, although we don't know the exact location of that meeting to kind of set the stage. But look, Claire, I mean, there is a sense here in Washington that we've been here before. Of course, you know, President Trump has given Vladimir Putin that very high profile moment for the meeting in Alaska. And there's a sense that not much really came from that. I mean, Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, he's going to be walking into the White House today for that meeting with an indisputable fact, and that is that despite all this negotiating, despite the words that President Putin has said to reassure or warn President Trump about further support for Ukraine, the attacks from Russia on Ukraine are continuing. In the last 24 hours, you know, there's been some 300 drones and missile strikes hitting energy sites, and it's just as the colder weather's hitting it. So, you know, that is the real story, and it's an indisputable fact. And we've seen President Trump starting to lose patience with Vladimir Putin. He wants Putin to feel the pressure, and hence why I think we've heard so much mention of Tomahawk missiles, but that would be in many ways game-changing for Ukraine. I do think it will also be very interesting to look, and if we do get a press conference later, to see if we ask about whether Ukraine, perhaps not the Tomahawk missiles alone, but perhaps there will be longer range strike capability possibilities for Ukraine. So whether the US and President Trump right now are willing to throw some sort of more longer term support behind Ukraine potentially going on the offensive and making Moscow feel this war again.
You do get the sense, though, don't you, watching Trump over the last couple of days since events played out in the Middle East, in Gaza, that he feels the momentum of that, of having been able to strike a deal there, and that perhaps now he can carry on and do the same with Ukraine and Russia.
Yes, and he has clearly turned his attention now to this conflict from the very beginning. Before he was even elected, he made this a kind of personal challenge to end this conflict. He's openly admitted it's been more difficult than he expected. He has taken a much tougher line on Russia and on Vladimir Putin himself, particularly in the wake of the deal that was made in the Middle East. This is personal for President Trump. And I think, you know, looking at Vladimir Putin in the past, you know, promises, and both of them in some ways are sort of, you know, that they're pulling from their political playbooks with President Putin, you know, making these calls ahead of big meetings with Ukraine's officials and seeming to placate President Trump in the short term, but, you know, long term, just continuing the attacks. And President Trump, for his part, playing the same, you know, sort of threat of escalation as a negotiating chip. But it is getting a little bit tired because we're seeing the same sort of situation repeat again and again. I think it's interesting as well that President Trump has signaled that he recognizes the fact that as the war drags on, Ukraine is limited in some respects by their lack of capability and support for going on the defensive. So a lot of the support that they've been provided is offensive support. And so I think there is going to be questions about whether, you know, even behind the scenes, whether there'll be some kind of movement now towards training, towards potentially setting the scene for a possible transfer of longer range weapons, whether that's Tomahawks or something else in the future.
Now, just to ask you as well about this other story that we had breaking our time last night from the United States about John Bolton, who many will know served as Donald Trump's national security advisor, was very close to him in Donald Trump's first term, then became a vocal critic of the president, was extremely critical of him in a book he wrote after his time in the White House. He has been criminally indicted now on federal charges in relation to the transmission of national defense information. Very serious charges with very heavy sentences attached if he's found guilty.
Yes, so under the espionage, he's been charged with 8 counts of transmitting and 10 counts of unlawfully retaining national defense information. So prosecutors are saying that he kept more than 1,000 pages of sensitive notes from his time in office. I mean, ironically, you have President Trump himself had a case about retaining sensitive information that was dropped after his re-election in 2024, Claire. This is being led by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Maryland. And it's a really important distinction because, you know, there's a lot of concern here in the US that from, you know, particularly from President Trump's critics, that this is some sort of political witch hunt. This is the third high profile political opponent of President Trump's that we've seen indicted in the last month. You had the former FBI director, James Comey, you know, that sort of very famous falling out with President Trump, who fired him back in 2017. Then you had the US New York Attorney General Letitia James indicted. But those two indictments, importantly, were carried out by the Virginia prosecutor with ties to the Trump administration. And so in reporting those stories, there was a lot of noise coming from the Department of Justice about personnel changes, about pressure coming from the top. In this instance, it's a little bit different because you've got it coming from the Maryland office and it's career prosecutors that are taking on this. Mm-hmm. And so the stakes are a little bit higher here. But, you know, yes, it is essentially another high-profile political opponent. We've seen President Trump calling openly for the Department of Justice to go after some of these people. And so it has compromised the view in many's eyes of the American judicial system being independent, and that has real life implications.
Okay, now just thank you very much, Sarah, for that. I just see some lines coming in from the Kremlin. They've made a statement on this proposed meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, saying that it could happen within the next 2 weeks or later. The details have to be worked out between Sergei Lavrov and Rubio. And they're also saying that Hungary would be the best place, as far as they are concerned, for that meeting to happen. We know that Ukraine has already expressed concern, so it does seem that that meeting will go ahead. Ah, there we have Hungary's Prime Minister Orbán saying that he has spoken with President Putin and preparations for that meeting are going full steam ahead. So we have that happening in 2 weeks, and today's meeting between the Ukrainian President and the Ukrainian Prime Minister rather, and Donald Trump in the White House. So things are moving apace. Right, we'll take a break, back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.